Sacramento is gearing up for one of its signature events, the annual Farm to Fork Festival. Since its debut over a decade ago, the celebration of our agricultural roots and culinary scene has grown into one of the largest events in the region. From local farmers and chefs to live music and fresh, seasonal food, the event showcases everything Sacramento has to offer as America's farm-to-fork capital. Joining us now to talk about the festival and its evolution and importance to the region is Mike Testa, President and CEO of Visit Sacramento. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Last time I saw you, we were at Raley's, and your son was gearing up for a sleepover with his friends. Do you remember that?
I do.
And first question, what is more exhausting, planning a week-long farm-to-fork celebration or having a bunch of boys stay up all night at your house?
You know, the boys staying up was fun. We weren't shopping for farm-to-fork. We were shopping for candy and soda for that little journey. They both take a lot of work. Both are rewarding, but I'm going to have to give the lean to my son there.
let's talk about the festival. What can people expect this year?
So one of the things that I love about this event is we try to change it up every year. One of the conversations we have internally is you have to look at it like Disneyland. Disneyland has its core rides, but they bring something new every year, and we try to do that with Farm to Fork. So this year we have more vendors than we've ever had, over 150. We've got cooking demos that we haven't done before. One of my favorites is called What the Pho, and we are working with some of the Vietnamese chefs in South Sacramento to do a cooking competition with Vietnamese food. That's not something we've done before. From a tourism standpoint, typically you promote the downtown central courts where a lot of the restaurants are. Obviously, that's where the Safe Credit Union Convention Center is. But when you look at experiences in a city, some of those unheralded neighborhoods are really important. So we thought it'd be a great way to highlight what's going on in South Sacramento and do a fun cooking competition with that. So again, the topics are the same in that we do cooking demos, but we try to change up who participates in those. And it's a great way to learn about Sacramento, even if you've lived here a long time.
You said it's called What the Pho?
What the Pho, yes, sir.
Has the festival and the programming around it become more multicultural over the years?
It really has. You know, we've been doing this thing for 11 years now, and again, trying to make sure that it's new for people who have come for multiple years is a challenge. But there's so many different things in this community, and what's great about a festival like this is people reach out to us and say, we'd love to be a part of this. How can we do that? And 99% of the time, we say, yeah, we'd like you to be a part of it and find a spot for them. So, you know, again, you're going to have live music every year, but the artists are different. You know, a couple years ago, we had a band called Japanese Breakfast. We've had a lot of Americana music. This year, the headliner is Andre Day, who's, you know, an R&B, just amazing Emmy Award winner. So we try to change up the content every year so it feels somewhat new.
Cool. Quick dad question. As I was leaving today, my wife said, don't forget to ask about parking.
Yeah.
So just logistically, like what can people know? And is there like a bike valet? How should we get there?
There's a bike valet. There's a ton of parking around there. You know, if you go to farmtofork.com, there is a section that tells you where to park. A lot of parking garages, a lot of surface streets that have parking on it. You know, because it's during the day, because it's on a weekend, you're not fighting against the people who are working 9 to 5 downtown. So plenty of places to park and walk over. And that's one of the great things about this festival. You could literally, if you lived close enough, you could walk to the festival, not pay a dime to be a part of this thing. The festival itself is free. There's a lot of samples from food and drink and things like that. So again, a great way to experience the magic of the Sacramento region.
That sounds exciting. Let's reach back to the history of this festival. So in 2012, Visit Sacramento joined Mayor Johnson at the time to announce Sacramento as the nation's farm-to-fork capital. And that day, your organization announced a week of culinary celebration ending with a festival and even a cattle drive downtown.
Yep.
What do you remember from that first event?
So, you know, a lot of it is we're making it up as we go along. We literally had, I think it was 50 longhorn cattle running down Capitol Mall with an incredible legendary farmer who's no longer with us in this region. But, you know, what we did that first year is what we do every year. We hire experts to help us. I do not know how to drive cattle in any way, but we hired the experts who do that. And, you know, that was meant to celebrate the proteins in this region. There's a lot of proteins grown here, whether it's through, you know, cows or pigs or different kind of animals. So when we talk about farm to fork, it's not just produce. It's really everything that ends up on our dinner plate. You know, that idea that first year, we'd hope to get 10,000 people to the festival. We got about 20 for a one-day event. You fast forward now, it's a two-day event with well over 100,000 people. So if you'd asked me then where I thought we'd end up, I don't think I would have told you that we would be at where we are today. But it's been pretty incredible growth and really a testament to the community that's jumped in and helped. This is not about what Visit Sacramento does. It's about the chefs and the farmers and people like, you know, the Center for Land-Based Learning who are raising the next generation of farmers. that really bought into this and got involved and became part of the conversation and created some of the curriculum.
Well, let's talk about those other offerings. We touched on the expansion of multicultural food offerings, but how else has the festival and all the programming around it evolved over this time?
You know, it's interesting. You think about when we first started Farm to Fork in 2012, there were a lot of people who came to us and said, this is a marketing gimmick. This is, you know, this is dumb. This isn't going to work. When we painted the water tower where it used to say, welcome to the City of Trees, and we changed it to welcome to the Farm to Fork Capital, there were a lot of people that were upset about that. And, you know, the reality for us, after doing a lot of research on the agricultural powerhouse that is this region and has been for well over a century, we grow so much of the food that feeds the rest of the country. It is a foot that we can lead with that nobody else can. So when we talked about Farm to Fork as an identity, it became this really powerful thing and something very real to the region. And you think about what's happened since then. We attracted the Michelin Guide to Sacramento. That is 100% of the bullhorn we were yelling into with Farm to Fork. We had a feature written in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal last fall, about a week apart, both of them focused on our food scene. You talk about Terra Madre that was in Sacramento last March. It's the largest food conference in the world, and now they're doing Terra Madre Americas. So, you know, Farm to Fork was a marketing plan. Without question, it was a marketing campaign, but it was a real one, and what it's attracted in the last 11 years has changed this market.
You mentioned the water tower. So I was doing research for this. I know that that's been this topic of discussion, but you've been one of the people at the center of this love-hate tug-of-war that Sacramento likes to play with the Farm to Fork brand and even our own agricultural heritage. I'm going to read a passage from a 2003 article in the Sacramento Bee where readers respond to a proposal. And the proposal is to paint the I-5 water tower red to resemble a giant tomato. Do you remember this?
I do.
And to brand Sacramento as the Big Tomato, which would have been a nod to New York as the Big Apple. So one reader writes, I love the idea. It will bring smiles to many faces entering and leaving Sacatomato Town. The Big Tomato is honest as dirt, gives respect to the land, and pays tribute to the hands that cultivated our region into what it is today. Another reader writes, Sacramento is trying hard to shed its hick or cowtown image. Why not just paint entering Cowtown USA on the water tank? The final result is the same. So you're smiling now. What do you make of the strong feelings that have lasted decades about our regional identity in agriculture?
You know, it's interesting. First of all, I think the tomato idea would have been fantastic. I'm all for that. I think that second one you wrote, I think people were trying to get away from us being an agricultural town. And you think about Austin, who named themselves the live music capital of the world, and they were able to do that because music has been a part of the ethos in Austin since the 1920s, just as food has been a part of Sacramento. Whether it's the City of Trees, because there's a lot of fruit trees that are part of that Farm to Fork ethos, you know, the difference between us and Austin is not everybody likes live music, but everybody eats. And so we can reach so many people. And you think about the people who are on government assistance, how are they spending that money? In Sacramento, they can use those EBT cards at our farmers markets. They can eat a lot healthier than they can in different communities. That's something that creates longevity in a community. That's something that, you know, addresses things like diabetes and a lot of foodborne illnesses that we see. So Farm to Fork was much more than a marketing campaign. It was a way to change the conversation about food in this community. And oftentimes, you know, what happens in Sacramento resonates across California. What resonates across California affects the rest of the United States. And what the United States does affects the rest of the world. So, you know, we never thought that we were going to change the world, but we thought it was a great conversation in Sacramento to really get the locals to think differently about Sacramento. Because you think about Chicago, the Windy City, the City of Brotherly Love, there's multiple identities. There's multiple identities in Sacramento, whether it's Farm to Fork or City of Trees or the River City or the Camellia Capital. We are all those things. But again, what we do better than anybody else is grow food and feed the rest of the country with it. And we thought that was a great identity for Sacramento to embrace.
And beyond just the bickering that sometimes happens on social media, what has been the impact economically, culturally on this Farm to Fork identity?
Well, it's millions of dollars. I mean, when I look at some of the agricultural and farming conventions we've attracted here because of that, it's millions of dollars in economic impact. When you look at the Golden Sky Country Music Festival that's coming up in October, the food there is Farm to Fork. We make sure that the local chefs are serving the food in that festival. And that music festival is attracting tens of thousands of people from across the country and across the world. So It's changed the national narrative on Sacramento. When media writes about Sacramento, they're not just writing the story about how we were the gold rush capital of 1849. They're writing about our food scene. When you look at the Michelin Guide, there were four cities in the United States featured in the Michelin Guide before Sacramento. That was New York, Washington, D.C., Chicago, and San Francisco. The fifth city in the U.S. to be in the Michelin Guide was Sacramento. That says something about our food scene. That's not because we made a charming pitch. That's because our food scene and our chefs and our farmers are legitimate.
So in 2012, this idea of farm to fork or farm to table was really having a moment. There was this, you remember, this explosion of food-focused media, books, blogs, cooking shows, Netflix documentaries like Food Inc. What has happened to this slow food movement or farm to fork movement since then? Has it waned? And we don't hear about it much in the cultural zeitgeist, but from someone that really keeps his finger on the temperature of this stuff, what's happened?
I think it was a fad for a while, for sure. And I think that was some of the criticism that we got, you know, coming out the gate, that this was just a gimmick. And what's interesting, I've read articles over the years of cities claiming to be farm to fork, and a very bright journalist would find reasons why that was not a legitimate claim. You know, I was once snowed in Washington, D.C., and the cover of their visitor guide had the chefs with this bounty of produce in his arms. And I'm thinking, where are they growing this stuff? There's 14 feet of snow on the ground out there, and it was being grown in greenhouses. So I think, you know, the fad had its moment and it went away. And I think where it hasn't changed in Sacramento is we still have 1.5 million acres of active farmland. We still have 150 plus crops coming out of the ground. We create 99% of the nation's sushi rice is grown in the Sacramento region. 80% of the nation's caviar comes out of Sacramento. So these aren't just things that we've made up. When you look at some of the stats of what is being produced here, the farm to fork capital is a very on point designation for our city.
When you started pitching this farm to fork a dozen years ago, part of the idea, I remember talking to you about this idea of food tourism, that Bay Area people or people visiting the Bay Area would take a day trip to visit our farms and our restaurants. Did that materialize?
Some of it has, yeah. I mean, it hasn't been, you can't just buy a ticket to go tour a farm, but we've worked directly with farms when we've brought in tour groups. You know, there are definitely a couple places in Sacramento County where you can do that, but most of those have been set up on an appointment basis when we've brought in culinary tourism. I think where it's played well for us is, again, with media, writing about Sacramento. You know, we had media in last week for the Tower Bridge dinner, and we took them to South Sacramento, and we took them on a tour of some of those Vietnamese restaurants. And the one thing we heard back from those reporters is this isn't a typical media trip. You usually just take us to the shiny, bright restaurants in Sacramento, but we thought it was a really good story to talk about food all over this region because, you know, Mulvaney's is sourcing the same way that those Vietnamese restaurants are sourcing. They're buying from local farmers, and that's really the story about farm to fork. It's how the food is sourced, that it's grown locally, it's purchased locally, and often what's on your plate was bought from the farmer that morning.
So the food system is always changing. And we had Seasons Kitchen and Bar in Davis just closed this month, and that was after the Seasons executive chef prepared food at our Tower Bridge dinner. And they highlighted their hyper-local food sourcing, as did restaurants that are no longer here, like Mother, the Press Bistro, Hot Italian. Meanwhile, like you mentioned, we've added restaurants, added food tours, and we still boast over 50 farmers markets. Is that right?
That's correct.
So when we think about this continuous change, I guess I just want to touch on, what do you hope people think about when they think about farm to fork in Sacramento?
I think it's a lot of what you just said, Alan, that, you know, the restaurant business is hard. You know, even the most successful restaurants. I remember when I was a kid, I was thinking if you owned a restaurant, you must be a millionaire. And it's far from the case for people who own restaurants. It is a labor of love. It is something that you're in your restaurant 7 days a week. So I always encourage people to support local. When you've got a special dinner, don't go to San Francisco. There are plenty of great restaurants in this town that you can support. When you look at the menu, a lot of them will list that they're buying from local farmers. The Tower Bridge dinner, we work with farmers specifically to grow things for that dinner. You look at the Golden One Center. They source 90% of the food in that facility from within 150 miles of Sacramento. And there are farmers who are growing specifically for that sports arena.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, Alan.
Mike Testa is the president and CEO of Visit California. We've been talking about the history of the Farm to Fork Festival, which runs through this Saturday, September 21st. That's Insight for today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Leshinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones. Our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Alan Young, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you back here on Thursday.